Numbers chapter 11. I always felt funny about these mics. I always had to flick them or something, just make sure they're making noise. Feel kind of funny about it. It's kind of, I thought that was my MO. We went to a meeting over there at Miltonville, and Pastor Brother Peacock was over there preaching, doing the same thing. He's messing. I thought, well, I don't feel so bad now, you know. But the Lord's good. Numbers chapter 11, here we, to set the stage, look at the backstory here again, and we've looked at this recently, the fact that God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, and He had brought them through some things. You know, He took them to the Red Sea, and He brings them through the Red Sea, destroys their enemy, He's got them out in the wilderness, He's able and willing to take care of their needs. You know, one thing we could learn from that, we often kind of overlook some really simple, basic things sometimes, is that if God calls you to do something, He's going to give you what it takes to get it done. He will do that. And, you know, that's what Israel, God delivered them from Egypt, but then it took a long time to deliver Egypt out of them. That's kind of like us, amen? He saved us from the world, and then He spends the rest of our life trying to get the world out of us. And that's what He's dealing with when He's dealing with the Israelites here. And he had delivered them from Egypt, the type of the world, but they still struggled with the flesh. And more than they ever thought they would. You hear me? More than they ever thought they would. You know, when I got saved, I thought, man, whew. Everybody wants Jesus. I just got to tell them. Everybody's going to get saved. And I'm good now. All that mess behind me is all over with. Little did I know, some of the mess wasn't behind me, it was inside of me. Amen. And that's what they're dealing with here. They're dealing with a mess that's in their heart. And God's wanting to clean it up, and He's wanting to show them some things. He's wanting to transfer their faith from Egypt to Him. And that's what we're looking at today. And by the grace of God, we'll look at some things today. I know the Word of God will be a help to us. It always is. If you want it, you're going to get it from the Word of God. And if you don't want it, He won't necessarily give it to you. Amen? But Numbers chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled. And the fire of the Lord burned amongst them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burned among them, and the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it, and ground it in mills, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? And wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight? That thou mayest, or that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me. Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a sucking child, unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? Whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, and say, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee. Out of hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Thank God we don't have to bear this stuff alone. Amen. And say unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat it one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it cometh out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh, that they may eat a whole month. Shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them, to suffice them? Or shall all the fish of the sea be gathered together to them, for them, to suffice them? And the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my words shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud, and spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp, and the name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle, as they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people would be prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses gat him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. That's an amazing God. He delivered them from Egypt, but they still struggled with the flesh. And that's a picture and type of the church. He's delivered us from the world, and we do still struggle with the flesh. And like I said earlier, he delivered them from Egypt and spent the rest of the time trying to deliver Egypt out of them. And that's why you go to church. That's why you have a Bible. That's why you pray. That's what we do. We get a hold of God and ask him to try to get Egypt out of us. Be filled with the Spirit instead of the things of this world. They were delivered, but they doubted. Lack of faith. I mean, they've seen the mighty miracles of God, the mighty hand of God that performed all the miracles against Pharaoh and in Egypt, and bring them out of Egypt against all carnal thought. It could not happen from a man's point of view. There's no way Pharaoh's ever going to let them go. They perform all these miracles. They are delivered out of Egypt. They go through the Red Sea. Their enemies are destroyed in the Red Sea. They're on the other side, and everything's fine. And they still doubt. Lack of faith. In verse 1 of chapter 11, it says, when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. They doubted and they displeased the Lord. Why was he displeased? Lack of faith. Oh, Biden's going to do this, and he's going to do what he does. He works for the devil. We understand whose side he's on. I know all that. But you know what? Let's not have a lack of faith. He's not going to do anything, and he can't do anything. I don't care who's in office or who's in the White House, or like Brother Peacock says, who's running the outhouse. He said, I don't care who it is. It doesn't matter. They can't do anything that God doesn't allow. And ultimately, just like he told Pilate, he said, you'd have no power unless it come from above. He said, you got the power God lets you have. It displeases God for us to have a lack of faith. Say, well, how do we get around it? Well, Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Preaching, teaching, reading, meditating on the book. If CNN was a Bible, most people would be walking straight. Amen. Because everybody's got to know what's going on out there. Very few people really care what's going on in here. And what's going on in here, in this King James Bible, dictates what goes on in here. The heart of the believer. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. The children of Israel were delivered from Egypt, but they struggled with the flesh, and God was displeased because they had a lack of faith. And you and I displease God when we have a lack of faith in Him. Oh, they had faith in Egypt. Amen. If we could just get back to Egypt where the fish were. But they didn't have any faith in God. Should I get the shot? Should I not get the shot? Should I do this? Should I do that? How about praying about it, getting an answer from God? How about finding out, getting some information on it, and making a prayerful decision? I understand there's an argument on both sides of this thing. Who's really trusting God? You could argue it both ways. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, well, you trust God, don't you? You wear a seatbelt. I wear a seatbelt so I don't get a ticket. I trust God so much, I'd go to the store without a seatbelt once in a while if it wasn't for the ticket. Amen. If I get head on by a semi and I'm not wearing my seatbelt, I'm saved. Amen. What I don't trust is somebody else telling me for my good, I need to do this when it doesn't come out of the Bible. Amen. I just trust God. I wear my seatbelt also because God is... Now listen, honestly, first, I wore it because I hated them $10 tickets. I was getting them in Missouri because I didn't want to wear my seatbelt. And I found out I'm from Missouri, from the Show Me State. I go to the license bureau and say, show me how to get out of this. And they said, if you license your truck for 20,000 pounds or over, you don't have to wear a seatbelt. There you go. That half-ton Chevy is now a 20,000-pound U-Haul truck. Amen. But now I wear them because I'm supposed to obey the law. I'm still working on the speed limit thing, so pray for me. Amen. You looking at me like you're not. Half of you are running 35 when the minimum is 40, and some of you are running 80 when it's maximum 70, amen? But we do struggle. Lack of faith. Displease the Lord. Verse 1 again, and when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and His anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them, or in the uttermost part of the camp. They were delivered, they doubted, they displeased the Lord, and some were destroyed. Why? Lack of faith. You know, lack of faith will destroy you. Amen. It will. I mean, if you take whatever faith you have and you place it in the government, or you place it in your bank account, or you place it in how good you might think you are, I almost said how good you are, your good works, but we're going to be careful there. I don't want to lie from the pulpit, amen. Our good works are all filthy rags to God. But if you put your faith in that basket, and you're not putting your faith in the Lord, eventually you'll be destroyed. And the devil knows that. You say, well, what do you think about the China virus? What do you think about Moderna? What do you think about this? I'll tell you what I think. I think there's a whole bunch of lost people out there being used of the devil, and there's a whole bunch of saved people out there being confused by lost people that are being used by the devil. Amen. And what the devil's doing is he's gradually taking control to save people. Amen. But the only way he can do that is if you have a lack of faith. And again, I'm not telling you what to do when it comes to your health care. I'm telling you to read your Bible and pray, and the Holy Spirit will give you clarity. Amen. The devil's a divider of God's people. Amen. Well, Christ came to unite everyone. Hogwash. He came to divide. He's going to do some heavy-duty dividing here real shortly. He's going to divide the church from this lost world. Amen. There's going to be a judgment of nations when he sits on this earth. He's going to divide the goat nations from the sheep nations. Amen. He's a divider. He separates out people to be unified to glorify him. He doesn't unite the whole world to sing kumbaya and live for the flesh. He separates out a people that says in their heart that God has done something for me and he deserves all of me, and I'm going to put myself on the altar on a daily basis. I'm going to do what Romans 1 and 2 says. I'm going to present myself a living sacrifice. He separates the people that are saved, born-again, blood-bought believers that want to glorify him from a bunch of people that are living like hell that could care less about the Bible. He separates a group of people that he wants to unify in a local church to glorify him by unifying around him and by putting their faith in him. He didn't call me here to be your doctor. He called me here to be your pastor. And as your pastor, you better be darn sure what your doctor telling you lines up with the Bible. Amen. And you better be sure you're putting more Bible in you than you are CNN in you. So, well, I read my Bible. Okay, write it down. Make a chart how much you read your Bible, and then let your phone tell you how much you're on your phone. Because it'll tell you. And then be honest with yourself and get that straightened out. Amen. That was free. That wasn't even a message. It's a lack of faith. We have a lack of faith a lot of times because we don't read the book. We don't. We're lazy. Oh, God saved me, you know. He's just going to mysteriously fill me with good stuff. No, the world's going to automatically fill you with trash if you're not seeking God. That's why you got all these heathen acting Christians running around, heathen acting saved folks running around out there. I talk to them all the time. What are you doing, man? Oh, man, I'm just listening to my bebop music and Christian rap. You read a Bible, a real Bible, for 20 minutes, you throw that stuff in the trash. Amen. You had somebody preach one message on you about the real rock, you throw that garbage in the trash. Amen. Well, we're social drinkers. We just gather to get together and we just have a little fun. We don't really get drunk. If you had a real book and a real walk with Jesus Christ, you'd ditch that trash. But they don't have any faith in God. You know what they have faith in? I can satisfy this flesh eventually if I just keep giving it what it wants. Misplaced faith. And they'll be destroyed eventually. Their testimony's already gone. You can't live like hell and go out to the world and say, you know what, I got something you need, when the world says, hey, you're doing everything I got already. Meet me at the rock concert, you bring the booze, and then tell me what you got. Hey, two-thirds of Christians would show, or Christians, two-thirds of saved people in 2021 would go. Amen. You say, well, that's just, you know, times have changed. This book hasn't changed. What Billy Sunday preached, I don't know how many years ago, is still true. What Paul preached all those years ago is still true. You can get you a pink britches Bible or whatever you want to do. God's Word's still the same. Amen. Men are supposed to be men and women are supposed to be women. And God's people are supposed to have faith in Him. Well, I do, but... Now, there's that but again. If you were in Sunday school, you'd find out. We talked about there are a lot of buts in people's counseling sessions. Amen. But, oh, I know, but you're a victim. You are the only one in the world that has a Bible that won't speak to you. Of course, the truth is you don't pick it up. And when you do, you're just putting your time in. Let's see, Psalm what? Was that short one again? Oh, I know there's, oh, Jesus wept. That's my verse for today. Amen. Now, look, I understand that we have rough days, and sometimes it's hard. But when you run out of Miracle Whip, you'll go to Walmart when you're having a bad day. Amen. Some of y'all are saying no Hellmans, but you've got the point. Amen. We put more merit in what this flesh wants than what the Spirit wants. We lend more strength to trying to satisfy this flesh instead of satisfying Him. And we'll put more confidence. It is better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in a man. Now pray over that and ask God what you should do about what you think you need to figure out. But it's better to trust in the Lord. Another verse says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. Like Prince Biden or Prince Trump or whoever it might be. It's better to trust in the Lord. Oh, Moses, how are we going to get our fish? They didn't cry out to God. They didn't say, Moses, why don't you go to God and ask Him, you know, we're worried. They just said, we want to go back to Egypt. Lack of faith. They were delivered. They doubted. They were displeasing to God. They were destroyed, a lot of them, because of their lack of faith. In verses 4 and 5, they go down through this list. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish. Oh, man. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. They were disappointed because their flesh was more interested in what Egypt had than following God. Look at 7 and 8. Well, let's look at 6 again. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like a 2-year-old kid that doesn't want to eat his carrots. Doesn't it? These are grown people. Saying, where's the SpaghettiOs, Daddy? We don't want the carrots. These are grown people. These are the same people who open the Bible and go, yeah, we like Psalm 23, and we like, you know, this and that. It makes me happy. Well, how about studying about Pharaoh? How about studying about Paul? How about studying about Peter? How about studying about Nebuchadnezzar to find out who you're really like without God? I don't like the vegetables. Amen. I just want the stuff that makes me happy. Wrong church, sorry. Hopefully healthy. But the flesh isn't supposed to be happy. The flesh is supposed to be in submission to the Spirit. Amen. It's not about the flesh being happy. It's about you being right with God. They were distraught. Crying out about these fish. But now our soul is dried away. Do you think that was a true statement? Do you think it was because of the fish or because of their faith? They were having problems in their soul because of lack of faith in God. Seven and eight. And the manna was this coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of delium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. See, they were disappointed and they were distraught, but they were deceived. You know what they were deceived by? The flesh. Because they had what they needed. And the flesh said, you don't have what you need until you have what you want. They were deceived by their own flesh. You and I get in the same boat if we're not careful. Amen? Well, it's not what we want, Lord. The Lord says, I gave you what you need. Eat your vegetables. He said, well, Lord, what about what we want? He says, oh, you get that. You're going to hear a trumpet one day, and right after that, you're going to get what you want. But right now, you get what you need. It starts at home. See, this attitude that people have nowadays started when they were born. Listen, now, it started when they were born. Now, I understand babies, they get all caught up in texture and stuff, and then, you know, you put, you know, cream peas in their mouth, and like there's a little skin or whatever, they spit that stuff out like a, you know, reject. I understand that, you know. They go through this phase, but it's supposed to be a phase. It's not supposed to be a lifestyle. The problem is the parents will say, you know, you get to the kid, the kid says, well, you know, I'm not hungry after everything's gone but the carrots. And the parents say, okay, sweetie, you go on to your room. Wait a minute, what's for dessert? Well, you're not hungry. Well, I'm hungry for dessert. No, that's not hunger. Amen?
Right.
And they'll say, okay, don't worry about that. And I'm not for, you know, loading a kid's plate up and say, eat it till you puke or get out of here. You're going to be in bed. I don't believe in them turning them into 400-pound 12-year-olds or anything like that. But they can't control everything in the house. And they've been led to do that and allowed to do that for so long that now they can't control themselves because they don't know how to say no to themselves. They don't know how to say, okay, I don't like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. So when they get up in the morning and they don't feel good, they're calling in saying, you know, I'm sick. I can't make it to work. Could you pay me anyway? No. You have to press on. These kids don't know how to press on. I think some of the guys have press-on nails now, but they don't know how to press on, amen? They don't know how to go forward. They don't know how to overcome. They don't know how to take something that's rough and just go through it. They want to go around everything. And it starts at home by saying, I don't care, Johnny. You're not living on cupcakes, amen? You're not hungry. You told me you weren't hungry. I'm going to hold you to your word, and you don't need any cake, amen? And when you get hungry, guess what? There's carrots in the refrigerator for you. Amen. Amen. It's not about the carrots. It's about teaching them how to say, hey, you know what? Man, I don't like it, but I got to do what I'm supposed to do. You know, that way when they get older and they're at Walmart and the biker walks in with tattoos all over his face and everything else and he's got pierced everything and the Lord says, give him a track, they don't go, I don't know what I want to. They go, I don't like it, but I'll do it, Lord. And they go up and give it to him, and he starts to tear up, and he says, I just lost my mom, or I just lost my dad, or my best friend just got run over, whatever, you know, and then they get saved. But you miss out on a lot by not having any self-control. You miss out on a lot by not having any good spiritual control. You miss out on a lot by not knowing how to eat your vegetables when God says, eat your vegetables. Amen. They had what they needed. God had provided it. They just didn't like the color, didn't like the flavor, didn't like the texture. You know how I know that? Because they were running it through mills, they were beating it in mortars, they were doing everything they could to try to make fish out of manna that was on the ground. They were trying to mimic something of the world. You know what a lot of the churches are doing now? They're taking the manna and trying to change it into something to mimic the world. That's not church. Church is, hey, eat your vegetables. You don't like sauerkraut? Yeah. It's on the menu today. You're going to have to eat it. What's up to you? It's between you and the Lord, but we're serving what God says to serve. Right. Oh, no, Johnny, what do you want for breakfast? You're four, and you have all the wisdom of Solomon. What should you have? Cake and Budweiser. Okay, Johnny, you're four, so you should have what you want. You say, well, you ain't giving no four-year-old Budweiser. Well, he's got his own menu. He's ordering whatever he wants. Where's the line where you start telling him no? He's not smart enough to go, yet, to say, well, cake has eggs and milk. I have milk and scrambled eggs. What's the difference? Well, 3 cups of sugar, Johnny, that's the difference. Per slice, that's the difference. You don't need that. Amen? People just don't have any self-control, and they take their faith and they give it to the wrong things instead of putting it in the Lord. They were deceived by the flesh. They had exactly what they needed, not what they wanted. They were spoiled brats. God had been so good to them even while they were in Egypt. Amen. You know why? They had everything they needed in bondage. They're God's people. If they come around tomorrow and Adolf Biden sends out an executive order, and they take all of our guns. Well, except for the ones I hid. Oh, is this on? I'm just kidding. No, they take all of our guns, and they tell us, you are going to toe the line, God will still take care of us. Amen. And hopefully and likely we're going to be called out of here before this gets much more out of control. But even if not, I'm not falling in love with CNN and trusting Dr. Fauci. It's all about Jesus. Amen. You want to get the shot? Get the shot. Get four of them. You don't want it? Don't get it. I don't care. I'll sit down and eat with either one of you. I don't care. If I make the wrong decision or the right decision, God knew ahead of time, I'm already saved, whatever. I'm not going to go home and hide and cry about it. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people not putting their faith in God. I'm sick of me not doing it a lot of times. We've got to trust the Lord. Pray about it. Meditate on some verses. Let God give you clarity. Do what you feel like He wants you to do. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. If you're right, you're right. But I think you're going to get a clarity from the Lord. If you're seeking it, He'll give it to you. And you know what? He might want you to do something He don't want somebody across the aisle to do. There might be somebody across the aisle that if they get it, it would kill them. Amen. I'm not God. I don't know what's going on, but I do know this. We can trust Him. The children of Israel, though, they were disappointed, they were distraught, deceived by the flesh. It hit me like a brick when I read this. Read verse 20 with me. They doubted God, now look what happens. But even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you, because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before Him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? They despised God. They longed for the worldly things and not for the Lord. They despised their deliverer. You say, well, that couldn't be us. Oh, really? Oh, really? Put the book down. I'm not telling you to do this, but if you put the book down, you quit praying, and you be in church but not in church, you'll be in the same boat they're in before it's over with. You'll despise God. Amen. Because you'll take your faith and you'll put it somewhere else. And not only that, after you've taken the faith that God gave you and give it to the wrong place, you'll blame God for it later. Well, I was trusting you, Lord. And He'll say, no, I'm not on CNN. I'm not a Fox News anchor. I don't have a YouTube channel. You weren't trusting me. I have a book. I don't even have the internet, He says. I've got a book. Lack of faith. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm saying we're prone to that. That's why God put it in the Bible. You want to know who you are? Start studying the bad people in the Bible. Amen. Well, just be honest. Another thing about verse 20, a couple more things. They wanted it. And He said, oh yeah, you want it? I'll give it to you until it's coming out your nostrils. You'll loathe it. This thing that you think you want, you're going to hate it when I'm done. He will give you, if you're not careful, He'll give you what you want to show you you didn't really need that. You didn't really want that. I know me and Jerry Gard had to be thinking the same thing when that wind blew all them quail in. Three foot deep almost. God's not able to, oh no, not only is He able to take care of you, He's able to drown you in what you think you want. Amen. Verse 20 again. But even a whole month until it come out at your nostrils and it be loathsome unto you, because ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before Him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? And you jump over here in verse 31. And there went forth a wind from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and as it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. God delivered. Now listen, they said, who's going to give us meat? And their great leader, you know what he said in all his spiritual strength? Where am I going to get this meat, Lord? You're setting me up. How am I going to feed these people? And the Lord said, you just hang on, see if my word's true or not. Hang on, see if his word's true or not. Amen. Hey, look, if you've trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, let me tell you unequivocally, without doubt, you're going to heaven. Hang on, see if his word's true or not. Moses said, how is this going to happen? Not only that, you're putting it on me. How am I going to do this? Are we going to kill all the cattle and feed them? We're going to gather all the fish of the sea together to feed these people? Moses might have been a little dramatic here, but you get the point. And God said, oh no. There's about 6,000 quail over here and about 20,000 over there. How about that? And he delivered. See, even when it looks impossible to you and I can't give you the answer, God still got it. He was still able to deliver. Amen? Now, I'm not saying to go out and get vaccinated until it's coming out your nostrils. Let's not make a leap here. I'm just saying, pray about things. Trust God. Look back at verse 5. I want to talk about this for just a few minutes here. And again, disclaimer, I am not your doctor. I'm not telling you what to do or what not to do, other than putting your faith in God and praying and letting Him lead you. I'm telling you, make wise decisions. Better put confidence in the Lord and trust in man. Better trust in the Lord and put confidence in man, excuse me. Verse 5. We remember the fish, which we did eat in Egypt freely. You know, freely they were bound. They were slaves eating fish. Now they're free, and they're less happy. The flesh is less happy free than it was bound. Isn't that weird? We remember the fish, which we did eat freely, or in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. Even in bondage, God blessed them with things that would take care of their physical health. I mean, think about this. I understand what God's made clean is clean. I understand the whole deal with Peter and the roll and, you know, not eating meat. I'm not saying that. I'm not getting into that. I'm getting into something different. I'm talking about the fish and what it was. It was a protein with good oils. Now, we're looking at physical health. I'm telling you that to say this. I'm going to give you a little bit of information, not as your doctor, but as your pastor, to get you to trust the Bible and to realize that God has given you medicine in your food. And I want to talk about this for just a little bit. The fish, you got the protein, the good oils for healthy circulation, healthy immune response. You know why some people will get this China virus? Two people, and you look at them, and you're thinking they're the same age, they're in similar health, and one of them dies, one of them doesn't. I know it wasn't their time. Well, there is some truth to that, because sometimes God just says, all right, I'm going to save you, I'm not going to save you, I'm bringing you home. That's true. But if you walk down out here in 127 and lay down and a bus hit you, it wasn't because it was your time, it was because you were stupid. Amen? So you can't always say it was their time. But here he gives them fish, and he's dealing with Israel spiritually, or physically, more physically for their physical health. He gives them fish for their health. He gives them cucumbers and melon. There's your hydration and your trace minerals. And that the trace minerals and the hydration has a great deal to do with inflammation and the body being able to control it and regulate it. The fish oil has a lot to do with the body being able to control it and regulate it. Leeks, onions, and garlic. I'm going to tell you something. Onions and garlic, and this is not my opinion. It is my opinion, but it's not just because it's my opinion. There's research on this stuff. And some of it was done, government-funded research on nutrition. Onions and garlic have antibacterial and antiviral properties. They also contain something called quercetin. And I did an exhaustive study on this stuff when my dad had cancer. thousands and thousands and thousands of pages of scientific literature on this stuff, and one of the main things they were talking about for anti-cancer was quercetin. Red onions have probably the highest amount of it. All right? Apples, berries, grapes, tea, seeds, and nuts, they all have quercetin. A lot of other stuff, but these are appreciable amounts. Red onions and yellow onions, but red onions are the highest, especially the outward peelings. The closer you get to the center, the less of the quercetin it has. And you can almost go with if it's the brighter color that's not poison, because some things are bright colored and poisonous. And God tells the animals don't eat this, and you know they know, and we don't eat it. But generally, the brighter color stuff has the most health benefits, whether it's bright yellow, bright red, bright orange, or whatever. And a lot of times it's in the peeling, which we can't eat anymore because they spray it with everything that'd kill you. A lot of that stuff. That's why you almost have to buy organic, and then you don't know who to trust. But onions, red onions, olive oil. We'll talk about some things in the Bible, olive oil. There's research on, I want to jump back to the onions here in a minute, but there's research on olive oil. You know, the olive oil is talking about a lot. Olive oil is always connected with life and light in the Bible. Olive oil, olive trees are always connected to Israel. When it talks about the two olive trees, it's talking about Moses and Elijah coming back with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, just you can't beat this book. God wrote a book, and he's smarter than any man. Would you agree with me that he's smarter than any man? There was one man that was pretty smart, though. I think it was Thomas Edison that said, let your food be your medicine. I think that was Thomas Edison. It's been given to different people, the credit for it. But that's pretty smart. Olive oil is good fats for the heart and for the immune health. Milk, nutrition for babies. What's a baby eat and drink? A lot of milk. I mean, the Bible understands this stuff because God wrote it. Honey, antibacterial properties like you would not believe. Some say antiviral. I don't know. I haven't studied that thing out. But it has a soothing effect. When you have a sore throat, it has antibacterial properties. They have taken honey thousands of years old and tested it that they'd found in tombs of mummies even. And they've tested it and said, you could eat that stuff right now. And God talks a lot about land of milk and honey. Isn't that something? There's government-funded research on quercetin that shows, one of them was a non-government-funded study that showed that quercetin will stop a virus from attaching to your cells. A virus does not live. It takes your cells and takes over the internal workings of your cells and reproduces itself. Instead of your cells reproducing a bunch of cells like themselves, they start reproducing a virus. But there is peer-reviewed research shows that quercetin will stop that virus from attaching to that cell. Government-funded studies that show that quercetin has the ability to wipe out most bacteria and many viruses. Here's where it gets interesting. There's a study done, government-funded study done in 2016, and you know what they listed? That quercetin would destroy rhinovirus. Rhino nose, cold virus, adenovirus, and coronavirus. Red onions. They're in Egypt eating leeks and onions because God's taking care of them in Egypt. A lot of people will, I don't care what their age is. If you're 40 years old and you live on ho-hos, you've got a very little chance of surviving if you get a bad flu. Right. Your body will kill you with the response to it. I mean, it's not just age. Age is a factor because your immune system changes, but the biggest factor that you can control is your diet. Interesting thing, though. There are two different types of studies. One's called in vitro. That's in a lab, in petri dishes and stuff like that. One of them's in vivo. Vivo, life, in live things. That government study studied it in a lab, and it studied it in animals. And they found out two things. And one of them I was almost sure about without reading it because I just assumed it made sense. But one thing was that it actually worked. But the second thing was, no matter how high a doses they gave, there was only a little bit getting into the blood. You ever heard the saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure? I'm telling you, they were good old sayings. They made sense. People used to have common sense back a long time ago. You remember that? Anybody remember that? Been a while. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. They also found over a period of time, just a little bit would raise that plasma level, that blood serum level, to where it would actually kill those things in the in live beings. So look, the time to take heed to what God says in the Bible about these foods is not when you get sick. It's when you're well so you don't get sick. So you'll see two people identical. And it's there are more variables than what we just talked about. One of them will drop flat dead in 6 days, and the other one will pull through it and go on. That's part of the reason. Notice I said part of the reason. I'm not here selling red onions as a cure. But I'm telling you this, if you eat that stuff every day, that gives you the best chance of being healthy when this stuff comes along. It's about a lifestyle. Ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. The other side of that coin is, if you're eating sugar all the time, and you're eating processed food all the time, your body is set up to self-destruct. When that stuff comes along, you're going to be in a lot worse shape than the people that ate less. And look, if you eat good things and you eat 10,000 calories a day, you're going to be in bad health. Life's about moderation. But if you're eating trash, when something comes along, don't be surprised if your neighbor gets the flu and has the sniffles for 3 days and you drop flat dead. Because God gave you guidance in this book. You say, well, God, yeah, but it's a spiritual book. Yeah, but God's a doctor too. He's a physician. And when he dealt with Israel, he was dealing with them physically, telling them how to stay healthy. And when they were in Egypt, he gave them food that would keep them healthy. You know why? Because they were enslaved. They were in labor. They're constantly laboring. And they needed to be strong and healthy. And God wanted them to be in bondage sometimes. And he wanted them to be able to work. God gave them some answers. He didn't go through and say, well, you know, Jacob, there's a study done by the government. He didn't do that. He just said, eat this, eat that, eat this. Don't eat this, don't eat that, don't eat that. And they just said, okay, Lord. And when they did, they were good. And when they didn't, they were bad. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, if you would. We'll wrap this up, I promise. Proverbs chapter 3. There ain't going to be a red onion left in Walmart here in 20 minutes. I should probably call Walmart and say, hey, I want a cut. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm just joking. Proverbs chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck, write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You see, just like the diet, when you got the disease, it's too late. You're supposed to be doing right all along. If you're eating decent all along, as a matter of fact, if you're eating little, if you're eating under 1,500 or 2,000 calories a day, you're a lot safer than somebody that's trying to eat right and eat the right stuff 5,000 calories a day or six. But it's the same with the Bible. A lot of people don't want to open it until the storm comes. You're supposed to be walking it every day. It doesn't just jump in you all at once and make you strong. It's something that the levels go up when you put a little bit in every day. You're better off reading one, don't read just one verse a day. I mean, I'm just saying, you're better off reading one verse a day than waiting until everything falls apart and trying to read six chapters. You're not going to make it that way. When my dad had cancer, I studied this stuff out. And I come to the conclusion, to my heart's breaking, that only God was going to fix that. And I'm not sure God was going to fix that. And all that stuff that I was reading, I knew it was true. I believed it was true. It lined up with the Bible. But I thought, you know, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Right.
Sometimes it's just too late.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can't do anything to stop it. But you can do what you can do. Amen? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. What should I do? What should I do? Trust the Lord and call on Him. And do what you feel He wants you to do. Father, we sure love You and thank You for a Bible, for Your Holy Spirit, and Lord, for the Old Testament. There's so many people that take it so lightly when there's so much truth in there and so much help that we could glean from reading and studying Your Word, Lord. You put man in a perfect place and man trashed it. And Lord, the things that You've made, although they have had hands on it that were not intended to be hands on it in many circumstances, Lord, the things that You made are good. It's what man's done that's bad.
Right.
Help us, Lord. Forgive us. Strengthen us. And help us to trust in You. And Lord, I don't want to displease You. I want to have faith in You. Help this church. Help us to be a church of faith in You. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.